Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sports Joe presents the GAA Hour.
Welcome once more to the GAA Hour here on Sports Joe. Be sure to repost any of our content as it's so important to help us grow. Give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you're listening to us on and tell your friends about us as well. Dan Casey here with you. And I'm once again delighted to be joined here, well, this time by the power of Zoom, by firstly, Niall McIntyre. How are we?
Very good, Dan. A great, great bank holiday weekend with the football. I think it was one of the best games I've seen in a long time, Dan. So I was delighted to have Monday to kind of process it all and take it all in. And here we are on Tuesday now, ready to talk it out.
Jesus Christ, what a fucking nerd. Lee, how are you getting on?
I was partying all weekend. I don't know what he was. There football on?
Did the Easter Bunny come to you, lads?
He did.
What did you get?
My mother gets me an Easter egg every single year without fail. I'm turning 30 this year and still get my Easter egg. I was afraid that might stop, but thankfully it didn't. I got a Malteser one, classic.
I'm 26 and she went, "Do you want to have an Easter egg hunt?" I was like, you're all right. Niall, what's your favourite Easter egg?
I prefer the Nestle ones, Dan. I actually got...
You're a sicko.
I got a Smarties, a Cadbury Nestle. One, so I was a bit disappointed about that. But I actually didn't have time to eat it because I was too busy watching the football at the weekend.
Lads, you're not getting extra credit for going on about the football here. you're looking very sharpish, boys. You're not in the same room as me, though, in fairness. Plenty to look forward to on today's show. But now, like any good ref, we're headed for the replay. Charlie Smith signs the New Orleans Saints. How unbelievable is that, lads? On a 3-year contract, league. It's just incredible.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. Like when the news broke, you know, and you've seen all the footage and all the clips of him absolutely killing it. So what's actually most crazy about it is that it's not even that surprising. Do you know, like I say, when all the clips went viral and the lads are nearly applauding him, you know, for popping these over with relative ease, and even just the way he handles himself in the few interviews and stuff that he's done, he's just come across amazing. I love the fact that he like finished his teaching placement in like the end of January there up in Newry, and he was sort of like saying in an interview, I think it might have been with the Irish News, he was like, "Yeah, it was good, but you know, hopefully I'll never teach again," you know, and he probably won't at this rate. It's an incredible story.
Niall, what do you make of it all?
Yeah, I suppose, as Lee said, it's not really a surprise. And the big surprise probably is seeing this morning that Rory Began and Mark Jackson returned home. And I know there's still a chance that they can get signed before the new season in the next month or two. But yeah, I suppose the surprise really is that those two haven't been snapped up yet and that they could be playing, I suppose, from Florida to Clonus for Rory Began, and from Florida to O'Moore Park for Mark Jackson. So they're back down to earth fairly quickly if they're playing this weekend in the championship. But yeah, unbelievable for Charlie Smith. I suppose just looking at it, I suppose a very basic view. He's only 22. Begging is 31, so maybe that might count against Begging. You still don't know. Maybe he will get a contract, but
you'd imagine that wouldn't fix. You'd imagine that wouldn't affect kickers too much if you're playing NFL. I know it's still highly competitive, but I mean, Begging, what did he go 10 from 10, and he hit like a 60-yarder there last week, and yet Smith is the one that gets signed. I mean, if he's coming back to championship, there must be a bit of a hangover there, not in the actual literal sense of drinking, but like there must be a hangover from not getting signed to the NFL after all the work he's put in.
Yeah, I actually, like, I read it somewhere that regardless of if you score your 10 kicks, that they're looking at, even if you miss, they could be impressed by your style or the way you kick it and so on. And it's not all about whether you score or so on, but yeah, like it just has to be hard, because we're watching videos of them out in the sun in Florida, and I know the weather has improved the last few days, but like it's not going to compare to Florida by the time the championship is on this weekend.
Would you be starting them in championship? I mean, you kind of have to.
You see, the thing is, both of their counties were relegated in their absence, like Wicklow from Division 3, Monaghan from Division 1. And I know you're not going to put that down to just the goalkeepers, but these are just two, I suppose, exceptional goalkeepers, in that Begging, we know the impact he has on Monaghan. He's like a quarterback playing for them, running out the field. He's probably their most important player. And Jackson has scored more than 100 points in his career for Wicklow. Like, so this man is just another, like, not just a shot stopper. This is a man who is key to their game plan. So I'd say you'd throw them in there if they're available. We're not sure if they are. The word was that Rory Begging was at a Monaghan training camp at the weekend. So yeah, you'd imagine he will be ready for Cavan this weekend in Clonus.
You're coming back down to earth with a bang there, Lee. Are you starting him?
Oh yeah, you're starting Rory Begging for sure. That man owes Monaghan nothing anyway. Like, you know, he's got credit in the bank. If he wanted to go on a holiday throughout the league and come back for championship, I'd say they'd be willing to take him with both hands. And even just the presence that he'll have, that'll be such a boost for Monaghan, and such a boost for Vinnie Corey and the boys, seeing him come back in. And I know he'll be disappointed, because he went out there with full intentions of getting signed, and he's an incredibly ambitious guy and things. But at the same time, you know, you're going to chalk it up as a wonderful life experience and something new. And, you know, Gaelic football is his life and always has been. And he's no prouder than when he's playing for Monaghan. So I think, you know, an Ulster championship would definitely cheer him up, you know, and it could be one of them stories.
Yeah, and well, I mean, hopefully it's not the end of the whole NFL thing for either of them. Because, I mean, now, as Niall said, there might be the next 1 or 2 months, but there's no reason, I guess, why they couldn't go again next year or the year after.
Yeah, no, I'd just be terrified that they go and look for Niall Morgan now next time. I know he didn't get picked from the compound, but I dread to think of a world where Tyrone don't have Niall Morgan. They definitely would have been relegated. Like Niall mentioned, the impact of not having your starting goalkeepers, and just how pivotal it is to have like that mainstay there. And the presence, as I already mentioned, you know, it's taking that out of the team is ripping out the heart of the team in some ways, especially when it comes to like kickouts and what have you. So yeah, they can definitely go again next year, but not Niall Morgan, keep him at home.
Yeah, himself and Reap, really the goalkeepers of the league, really. Let's throw in the ball and talk about some GA action. The big one, of course, from the weekend. We'll be talking about this one for quite some time. Leash 2-22, Carlow 1-12. Niall, what did you think of this one?
I'll tell you, Dan, I was very surprised about the final scoreline this one. I know you're joking here, but I actually could talk about this one for a good while, because I was very surprised Carlo didn't really show up in it, to be honest. They got a goal and looked like put them in front and looked like Carlo were on the way to winning this game, and then they just completely folded. And Leash took over the game and nearly won by double scores, as you said. So that was a big surprise in the Division 2A hurling final. You mightn't have been expecting such a detailed answer from me there.
Is this going to be hinder Carlow a lot coming into the Leinster Championship now?
I think it will, Dan. Yeah, it'll be a blow for them, because They have some. They had a brilliant league campaign. They'd beaten Laois earlier on in the league, and you know, coming up against the Leinster Championship, there'll be no prisoners taken in games against the likes of Kilkenny, Galway, Wexford, Dublin. So they'll need to turn it around, and it's definitely a blow for them.
Dublin, 221, Derry, 318. Laois is absolute cinema. Shakespeare, Yeats, Roger Hargreaves, they couldn't have wrote that one. What a game, and what a 5 years for Derry, from being in Division 4 to winning Division 1. This is what Gaelic football can be when two teams are going at it, Lee.
Yeah, it was an absolute spectacle. I think Charlotte Byrne said it was just an exhibition of Gaelic football. It's the sport that I love, you know, it's the one that I want to show off to the world and like see even just watching it. I watched it in a pub in Mockerfeld. So when I say I was in the belly of the beast when it came to, you know, being surrounded by Derry people and just hearing the passion and the expletives from everyone around me, you know, and being in Marfelt, obviously Owen McAvoy, Oran Lynch, you know, two homegrown talents. So it couldn't have went any better for them. Owen McAvoy getting 2-2, Oran Lynch being the hero in the penalties. The passion was just something else, like, and the game itself, like, everyone in the pub wanted it to end, bar me, obviously, because I just wanted, you know, from the neutral point of view, I just wanted it to go on forever. I think Eamon McGee tweeted at the weekend saying, turn the lights on Croke Park, let the boys play on. It's a bank holiday weekend. Like, will it, you know, we can't get enough of this.
Niall, were Derry ultimately the deserving winners for you? I mean, they had to win it three times. Did go to the lottery of penalties.
Yeah, they were definitely deserving winners. Just a brilliant performance from them from the very start. You could see that they were zoned in and they'd settled into the game lovely and conceded a sucker punch of a goal then when Oran Lynch fisted the ball out to Colin Baskell. He finished it lovely. And I suppose you were thinking then that kind of a blow could rock them onto their heels a small bit, but it definitely didn't. They were really calm. Kept it tight then up until half time, and then I suppose just took off afterwards with McGuigan. I suppose he's their leader between himself and Glass, really. And McGuigan was just exceptional in that first half when they really needed him. He scored his penalty, backed himself brilliantly in front of the hill. And from there, I suppose they just took off. Like Owen McAvoy's two goals, the first one, like when he left Fenton behind him and buried it into the roof of the net against the hill and celebrated like Cristiano Ronaldo. Like it was a special moment. And I suppose that just summed up the conviction and the passion and the ambition that Derry played with on Sunday. And yeah, they were absolutely exceptional and deserving winners. They should have nearly won the game three or four different times. And I suppose that's a credit to Dublin that you never have them beaten either.
Was it a Derry penalty? There's a few kind of talk points around this game. Was it a Derry penalty? It looked like it happened outside the box. And that's surely a case where a VAR/TMO would come into play in Gaelic games.
Yeah, it was sort of like, well, which one did they count as the foul then in the end? Because in fairness, Conor Lane got a lot of stick after. Well, it had to be the first one was a foul, but then it was outside the box, so it would have been a free. And then the argument was the second tackle a push in the back? It definitely wasn't, but if they give that, you know, if that's what they thought it was in the box. So it's sort of like two wrongs turned into the penalty kind of situation. Conor Neen got a lot of stick, you know, throughout this game or whatever, but it was actually the umpires that made this decision because he didn't give a penalty. He went and discussed it with the umpires. They obviously told him what they thought with the better view that they would have had. And that's what they came to. But it was difficult. Like, it was one of them. You had to get the lines out and get really intricate with it and all the rest of it. But I don't know about VAR, TMO. Like, I mean, and I'm not too sure you want to be bringing that in because it's just it's a whole mess of a situation. It would have stopped the game. The game would have then, you know, like what a flow it was to that match. You know, it just felt like every other minute something unbelievable and exciting was happening. But there would have been, what, like a 5 minute delay while people mixed up the lines and did all the rest of it. And as we've seen in the Premier League with VAR, even all the cameras in the world can still mean that you get it wrong, except you just get it wrong even more. Spectacularly. So no to VAR, no to TMO. Probably wasn't a penalty, but it's not like a crazy outrageous mistake, you know.
Well, I was going to come to a small bit later, but Niall, I suppose for you, Conor Lane got so much stick after this match. But, I mean, it was the umpires who made that decision, and it looked like the referee in the sideline who made the fint and sending off decision. Do you think that stick was warranted? I think a lot of it was overboard, to be quite honest.
I'd agree with you, Dan. Like, there were so many things went on in that game that he was never going to have this perfect performance with, where everybody was going to come out happy and not say a word about the referee. Like, it was just one of those games where so many things kicked off and there was so many different flashpoints. Like, so, I wouldn't be overly critical. I know Mickey Hart, even though Derry had won, he was still critical of the ref. He said a good few calls frustrated him on the line. I suppose none more so than that last one for Conor Doherty on Keane Murphy, which like definitely wasn't a free. But I suppose you can, these things can happen, and like referees can make mistakes, especially when there's so much tension and so many things are happening. So look, I wouldn't be overly critical. I think there was a few calls that maybe he got wrong, but that's always going to happen, especially in a game like that.
And just on that Fenton one, do you think it warranted a red card?
No, I don't think it was. Well, look, it was so.
Fenton should have had to cop on not to do it. It was
Fenton,
yeah, as you're going
Fenton
to
say. Lost a head like we've never seen before, really, like, because he was a good, after they had this little interaction himself and Mulholland, he was a good 10 yards away from Mulholland, and like you could see it happening on the left-hand side of the camera that Fenton had lost the head and that he took a charge at him. Like, and I know he didn't give him a box or anything like that, but I suppose he gave the referee a decision to make. And like you can't, a player like Fenton doesn't do that. It was the first red card he's ever got playing for Dublin. Like, so a big surprise there. But I suppose there was definitely worse thing. Like Paddy Smalls grabbing the neck of two Derry players, I suppose a minute or two later, like that was definitely a lot worse. And especially seeing as he did it twice, like, but I suppose that's the way it goes.
Yeah, I mean, do you think teams are going to start having to go off this Dublin team now if they realise they can get under the skin of the likes of Fenton, who normally is so calm under pressure?
I don't think that will happen again. I think it was just one of these, like one of those games where it was so long, first of all, like you'd nearly be frustrated that you're playing for 80 minutes, like, you know, and I don't think that will ever happen to him again. I'd say he'll probably learn his lesson from that and won't. But like, I suppose that was the beauty of that game, really, that they were absolutely hammering into each other. And like that moment of Brendan Rodgers and Fenton, where Rodgers pushing him on the back and Fenton's getting cross with him, pushing him back and nearly ripping his jersey. And then they just start laughing together. Like, that was kind of the essence of the game. And that summarized the game for me. Like, it did spill over there a small bit at the end. But like, I'm sure, like we seen straight after the penalty shootout, the players lined up and shook hands and they were all smiling at each other. And there was no real huge bad blood, like, in the game. There was no real dirt. Like, a few, I suppose, bad moments there. The likes of Paddy Small and Tom Lahiff and Mannion running at McCluskey straight after the goal. But that was just, it spilled over for a split second. And I don't think it was there was any badness in the game as a whole.
Lee is kind of, Niall alluded to there. There was a certain beauty in the aggression in the game, but league finals don't matter, isn't that right?
No, they don't matter. Yeah. these last few, they didn't care about that. Yeah. No, it was fantastic, and it was a real advertisement for what a league final can be. But it's what the whole league could be, you know, if teams were just willing to go at it, and maybe there's issues elsewhere in terms of a condensed season and all the rest of it that lead to these issues. But seeing two teams at the top of their game, we were lucky maybe to have the weather as well, and Croke Park, you know, HQ, what a platform for it. Like, and everyone loves to see that bit of needle. We're no, like they always say, you know, we're supposed to, with Malise and whatever else, that, oh, you don't want to be seeing that in the game, but you absolutely love it. Boys were standing up in the pub and they were throwing the stools around. They're like, get fucking stuck into them. Like, they wanted to see blood. You know, they felt like they were a part of it, like, as though the players were defended Naeem personally. It was brilliant to see, to be honest. Like, and I don't think any of it really spilled over to anything, you know, that was so untasteful that the sport looked bad, you know, and because that has happened, obviously, in the past. Like, I just think it had just about everything, the right pitch of everything as well.
Yeah, people. It's like people say they watch F1 and don't like the crashes in it. It's like, of course they do. Of course they do. Lee, for you, what was the goal of the match? For me, it was the McAvoy one, where it just hits the underside of that crossbar and goes in the net. That was
unbelievable.
Incredible.
Unbelievable. Like, yeah, absolutely incredible. Because I don't know what it was. The way he was sort of coming through, I actually wasn't... And it's my fault for doubting him, I guess. I just wasn't super confident that he was going to find the net. You know, he was still... He looked like he'd shot too early. There was just... He could have got a little bit closer. He put his foot through it. And the way it hit the crossbar and it bounced down, you're like, did that cross the line? But it, obviously, you know, a half a second later, you've seen it ruffle the back of the net too. It just, that again, that had everything, because it needed to be so perfect, nearly, if you're going to hit that on across of the crossbar. And it's more difficult for the keeper to stop then as well. And then Niall already mentioned, like, a celebration for him to get up, like, coolest man in the room, like, as if this lad wasn't playing schools football 2 years ago. Do you know, and now he's in Croke Park scoring these screamers against Dublin, you know, the All-Ireland champions, and he's sitting shrugging, pointing to the ground as if, like, yeah, I own this turf. Like, you know, he's just, he's class. I love him.
I own this city. But to be fair to Derry, they probably should have had 2 to 3 more goals.
Yeah, like, it was one of them chances, like, or one of them games. They were just so direct, though. Like, I just loved their attitude throughout the entire game. They showed Dublin absolutely no respect. Lachlan Murray was taking on everyone, every single opportunity he get. All of the substitutes, they came on with the same attitude. Like, we don't need anyone to come on here and hand pass the ball and take the safe option. You know, if you're playing Dublin, you got to roll the dice. And, like, Conor Murray was fantastic when he came on. Niall Toner was absolutely sensational when he came on. It's nearly the best I've ever seen Niall Toner play, and he didn't even get the full match. He kicked 2 points, and then he kicked that wonderful through ball sort of over the top to Ethan Doherty, who then rounded the goalkeeper and just hit the side net. And that was probably the best goal chance that didn't go in for Derry. And it came from such a wonderful and a, like, adventurous type of play. And you're just sort of thinking, like, God, if teams do this more often, you know, we're in for a serious, serious treat, because it was just brilliant. But ultimately, it came down to bravery. That's what it came down to, and backing themselves to go toe-to-toe with the juggernaut that is Dublin.
Niall, we talked about him last week, but McGuinness started in at centre-forward. How good was he? He's surely a man who's putting the hand up for a jersey come championship now.
Yeah, he had a decent game. Like, I suppose, he definitely, he got a lovely point when, I suppose, could have maybe got a goal, and he set up the one for Baskill, I suppose, with a mishit point shot as well. But I suppose just he probably will have a chance, definitely, of starting. But there have a few lads come back as well. And I suppose that's the thing. Like, you have James McCarthy, Michael Fitzsimons, maybe Cluxton as well. Like, so, like, Dublin, they still have a few lads to come to the party. While Derry, I suppose, had everyone. But at the same time, like, you just have to be so impressed with how Derry just went at the game and backed themselves. And, like, it was summed up for me in very early on in the game. Oran Lynch had the ball, and Brendan Rodgers is standing beside him. And Lynch just looks at him, and he kind of gives him a little signal as if to say, come on, like, run at these lads. He and then he hand passes the ball, and Rodgers just tears down the wing, takes on Brian Fenton. And it was this exact same thing for an early point Niall Loughlin got, where Conor Glass had the ball and Brian Howard and Loughlin were kind of racing in front of him. And Glass just delays a little bit, gives Loughlin the signal, take him on, back yourself, use your pace. And Loughlin did that and got the score. So it was just Derry backing themselves all day. And that was just the tactics that they'd had, that they would back themselves, go at Dublin man to man. And it was just, it made for an unbelievable game of Gaelic football to watch. Like, I honestly couldn't take your eyes off it. Like, you know, sometimes during a game, you try to make a cup of tea, like, and you're there, you can make it. Absolutely no problem. Like, you could have done it during the Donegal Armagh game. You could have made 2 or 3 cups, like, and you'd have missed absolutely nothing. But while I was doing this during the Dublin Derry game, you hear the commentator inside absolutely getting real excited about something happening in the game. So by the end, it nearly took me about 20 minutes to make a cup of tea because it was in and out like a yo-yo. But that's just a credit to how good that game was. And I just love to see more like it. And just Derry and Dublin, it could be the start of a beautiful rivalry now between the two of these.
Was it a foul on Cian Murphy Lee at the end of the 70 there? I mean, Mickey Harris started walking towards Conor Lane after it then, like, oh, Fergus McGrath.
No, it wasn't a foul. Like, we sort of gave Conor Lane a dig out in that, you know, it was such a big game, mistakes are going to happen. You know, he used all of the resources around him. He used the umpires, he used the linesmen, you know, all the eyes that he had on the game to help him. And so they have to take responsibility too. But in that one particular instance, I just didn't see how it was a foul, to be honest. What was also weird about it was Oran Lynch's kickouts were unbelievable throughout the whole game. Like, I think Dublin gave away 8 of their kickouts and Oran Lynch only conceded 3. But that was one of them when it was, you know, right. Well, even then, like, I suppose it did find a defender. It was a Gilmore, the young Steelstown fella. And then he got dispossessed. And, okay, I don't know, like, they did well to recover it and for it to give away a foul. I secretly delighted. I couldn't cheer because of the place that I was in.
You would have been beaten.
But yeah, they'd have got a bar stool in my back. But I was slightly delighted because I just did not want that game to end. And I mean that purely from a neutral point of view, because the idea of it going on and getting to see more of this helter-skelter action was just too good to turn down, and it proved to be that case. And I think most Derry fans now would, you know, they wouldn't have it any other way, because to come out on top with so many adversities and to overcome all of them hurdles, you know, it just puts you in a much better place come championship.
Niall, it was surely a case of the referee being like, Jesus, I better give this one to Dublin.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, Dan. Yeah, like, it was just, it was not a free, not in a million years, as I said on the GHO Twitter account. It was not nowhere near a free. I give credit to John Small. I thought he did unbelievable to get the interception in there. It was an unbelievable steal, in fairness to him. To get the ball off Gilmore, but definitely not a free.
We're talking about Conor Lane getting stick, but a lad who's getting a bit of stick off the back of the game is Comerford in goal. To take the mantle from Cloxton, a lot of, I suppose, kickouts went astray. Did you find Comerford was poor in goal for Dublin?
I couldn't say that I noticed that he was overly poor. I just thought Derry were excellent in their kickouts. Like, they got everyone involved. Oran Lynch was able to kick over the press. He has a serious, serious boot on him. And the accuracy that he has is incredible as well. But I think just because of the way he comes out of the field and that aspect of his game, people only want to look at that, you know, and they sort of don't appreciate what he can do elsewhere. Whilst Evan Comerford is much more of a traditional goalkeeper in that sense, as Dublin have always done it. So there's a lot more scrutiny in that sense. But I just thought Derry were excellent. You know, like, when you've got Conor Glass, Brennan Rogers, and, like, even Lachlan Murray and stuff, they were getting, he's fantastic in the breaking ball. You know, they were crowding pockets of the pitch and just competing for it. And, like, it was, I would be more keen to give Derry credit in that sense than say Evan Comerford was doing anything overly ridiculously poor, you know, or that it wasn't even the right decisions. Like, is it not the right decision to try and pick out Brian Fenton for a kick out? Is that not really, is that not obvious? What other Dublin keeper would do what, you know? But then, of course, there is always that thing that, like, when was the last time you seen Stephen Cluxon in a situation where they give away 8 kick outs, you know? So if you've got him waiting in the wings, you can't do too much wrong.
There's going to be a hangover from the Cluxton area as well, because the expectation is just going to be so high. And to be fair to Comfort, he floated a lovely one over to, was it O'Callaghan, who then kicked it into McEnany to get their goal to send it to penalties.
Yeah, no, I Comfort's a brilliant keeper. Like, and same as, is it O'Hanlon's the other one? Like, I mean, to be fair to them, they get very little championship football. There's no way for them to get any rhyme or rhythm sort of to their games, because Cluxton keeps coming back here, and when he's not back, and Comerford had a lot of injuries as well, actually, you know, that he's had to deal with. But geez, I wouldn't be ruling him out at all. No, he could definitely be a Dublin number one.
Right, well, lads, this is a mass debate I want to have with you. We stuck it to the public yesterday, and we'll get their answers later. But I'm putting it to you right now: should penalties be the way to decide a GAA contest? Niall, you're our first mass debater up.
I absolutely love penalties, Dan. I think it's just when a game has... Look, games obviously have to be decided on the day, the way the calendar is now, when everything is so sandwiched together with the club season coming so soon after. And I have no problem with that. Incidentally, Laois manager Justin McNulty has absolutely no problem with that either. Every other manager in the country is giving out stink about having games every weekend. But Justin, who I feel like he's a friend of the show at this stage because we've given him so much praise this year, he said he loves having games every week. So that's fair enough. And when a game is to be decided on today, I think there's no better way than penalties to decide the game, because I think penalties are an unbelievable test of a team's, I suppose, a lot of people put it down to skill. A lot of people put it down to kind of a skill thing. Like, but I think any player who's playing inter-county football is able to score a penalty. But it's just who can do it under that pressure, in that moment with the crowd booing and so on. I think it's a brilliant way to solve the game. And some people say, oh, it's not part of Gaelic football, this is soccer. Penalties are part of Gaelic football. They're literally in the game. Shane McGuigan scored a penalty in the game. I just can't wait till there's a penalty shootout to solve a hurling game, because that will be absolute scenes. I don't think we've actually seen one yet.
Niall, I'm surprised to hear that from a traditionalist now like yourself.
I know, Dan.
It's a bit English, like, penalties are a bit English, no?
But you see, they're actually not. Like, there's penalties in the game of Gaelic football. Like, I don't think there's any better way to solve it. And people go give out saying, oh, penalties is a harsh way to solve. Oh, what a great game. And it's a shame that this game was decided by penalties. Like, it's a shame when a team loses a tight game anyway. It's just, that's just the way it is. There has to be a loser. And for me, the team that shows the nerve in that penalty shootout deserves to win.
Niall, or Lee, sorry, what's your opinion on it?
No, sorry, you maybe confused me with Niall there just because of his positivity around Gaelic football and the fact that he loves penalties and... He's going to stop watching hurling now. I think we've made him. He's fully converted. It's happened. My view on penalties is that, like, generally, I do love penalties. Like, I mean, it's a brilliant way to finish a game. To be fair, and I like Niall's point actually that it's such a harsh way for the game to end. But you know, if you drew the game in normal time and then drew it again in extra time, whoever's going to lose that game is going to feel like they didn't deserve to lose it, you know, because you fought right literally to the very end. There are other arguments that, like, a lot of people say something about, like, 45s and competitions like that. I suppose that's an alternative, and there would definitely be excitement in that, you know, seeing the best kickers of the game in a skill that's maybe more aligned with Gaelic football. But then it takes away from the fact that, like, all you're going to have there is sort of people to blame, because, you know, when you miss a penalty, at least the keeper gets to be a hero, you know, because he made the save and it's down to having a good keeper. Whilst if it was like a 45s competition or something along those lines, it's just whether or not this one person can score a kick. And I think it'd be a lot slower too by the time they all get set up and they go through their mad long routines and, you know, and having to watch it and everything. And the Jesus, you could be there till nighttime. They might have to turn the floodlights on. So I know there are conversations for alternatives, but I like the penalties now. It was definitely a great way for that game to finish.
We now go to everyone's favourite segment here on the GA Hour. It is the infamous player problems, and we had some good ones this week now, lads. As we mentioned earlier, we asked, are penalties a fair way to decide a GAA contest? Gamers Galaxy comes in and says, after extra time, should go to replay. Martin Green says, if Derry are playing, perhaps a boxing match. Gareth Parsons says, free kicks, one from the left and one from the right, alternatively. What do you reckon about that one?
It's not as exciting. No, it's shite. Block him.
John Ryan says, no, bin them. Replay if level after extra time. Leave the shootouts to soccer. Connor Finnegan. I thought that would have been Niall's... Niall's line of thinking. Connor Finnegan says, course it's fair. Game has to be decided. Penalties are part of the in-game action. He was the one, actually, who went with Niall's line of thinking. Charco says, ball thrown up in the middle. Next score wins. To be fair, a bit of excitement in that now, to be fair.
There would be, because the person who takes on that shot, yeah. I don't mind that.
Niall Cowan, in the current financial climate, yes, a lot of families are finding it hard to go to games. It's probably a good point, actually. V-Man comes in and says, absolutely penalties. They had more excitement to the game. Jack Larkin says, free-taking competition. Connor O'Toole says, yes. Johnny Lee says, replay. Gaz F says, should be 45s. Michael says, against Dublin, yes. And Sarah, lads, she's back again. She says, I have a far better gift in my bio link. Wet emoji once more. And she's looking well. There's a photo of her as well, she added.
I see that photo. I mean, I don't
know. She's a friend of the show.
Yeah, very good listener. Good listener. She loves dairy.
We now go to the Instagrams. Shane O'Gorman says no. Declan Dunn says, I preferred the free taking competition. No, says Rover. Anna Garvey, no. There should be a replay in saying that. Delighted for Derry. Yes, is no's. Feta, nope, but worked out yesterday. Good old karma kicked in. No, complete horse shit. James Grennan, Golden Point would be epic. I think that would be class, lads. After normal time, extra time score has to be from play. If you get a free, it has to be indirect. Would you be in favour of an All-Ireland final going to extra time and then on to penalties?
Yeah.
No, I think it has to be a replay. There is replays in for finals, and I'm happy with that. But if it's a draw after a replay in extra time, I'm happy enough with penalties. Just on the 45s one, like, imagine watching 45s on television and you don't even know if it's over the bar until the umpire goes over to wave the white flag. Like, that'd just be so boring compared to watching a penalty shootout. Like.
And umpires aren't the most trustworthy in the world, you know, no harm to them. Like, they get that
wrong. They're not high at times.
Yeah, neither's hockey, yeah. You're putting a lot of pressure on those umpires. You need about five or six of them all surrounding the goal.
But I suppose at the match, you got the sense once Conor Gallagher missed the first one that it was just going to be Derry's day and night.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose a key thing for Dublin was that they had lost. Fenton was gone. I'd say Paddy Small could probably have hit a penalty. Cormac Costello, if he was there, would have hit a penalty. Dean Rock is obviously retired. So they were down to kind of bare bones when you're talking about penalty takers. And like, I couldn't believe that Larkin O'Dell stepped up, having only come on and kicked bad wide, really, in extra time. And same with Tom Lahiff. I wouldn't have, even though he had a very good game, I probably wouldn't have him down as a penalty taker. But yeah.
When Conor Callaghan misses, you know, something's going wrong. He went straight for the top corner, didn't he? And it just didn't come off. When it went to penalties, I did feel very confident that the Derry would have it. They were in penalties last year against Armagh in the Ulster final, and I thought that really stood to them. I think Oran Lynch now has done two penalty shootouts and has only conceded two or something mental like that. You know, he's an excellent goalkeeper, and, you know, he deserves all the praise that comes his way in that sense. But yeah, it's the ultimate, like, you know, testament of someone's nerve and character. And to see Conor Glass once again go right for the roof of the net.
I thought he was looking nervous. I was like, no way is this going in.
No, this man owns Croke Park now at this stage. Like, he's a man for the big moments. I think he absolutely loves it and lives for it. And it won't be the last time we see him make a absolutely decisive score in an important match.
Yeah, I wonder how he's celebrating going out for another cycle while the lads are out in the beer.
I wonder how much they're celebrating in general. I was looking at a few Instagrams, they're all going to unfollow me now, but I don't think it'll be like a 2-day bender thing, but I certainly do hope that they celebrated it properly, you know, because they've 3 weeks, I think, to their next game, and that's, you know, if you can't celebrate winning a final, then what can you celebrate?
Well, we'll finish up our mass debate here now quickly enough as we have to move on. But do you think Dublin ultimately will be too disappointed? I think both teams will actually be happy enough because Dublin, Desi Farrell will know, all right, there's plenty there to work on and we have plenty yet to do even after demolishing the likes of minnows like Tyrone. But, you know, Derry as well will have the confidence of beating Dublin and Croke Park. Lee, go to you first here.
Yeah, actually, I think in some ways it could be the perfect ending for Dublin because they almost had the perfect league, bar the opening two games. But even that helped them because it gave them a little bit of adversity to overcome early in the league. It's like, we need to kick into gear here really quickly. Once they did that, they found their groove and they almost became unstoppable. But when you cruise through the league and then they're going to cruise through Leinster, there's no two ways about it. It means that they weren't going to have a competitive game or any sign of things. You know, there's no reason to work on anything, you know, when everything's going so perfectly. But for them to lose a game like that, the one thing that they would have left that league without is a cause. And you know, and now they have that. Now they can stick Derry on the wall and they can be like, we can't let this happen again. Desi Farrell can highlight loads of mistakes, you know, in that match and the things that really aren't super important, but he can act like they're really important and drill it through them. He is now an excuse to run them boys into the ground for the next, you know, 3-4 weeks, and they can say nothing about it because they didn't come home with the trophy. And it's just another thing for them to, it'll light a fire under them. But then, you know, alternative to that, like, Derry did need to win it, because I think it would have been a much harsher blow for them. It would have been like another reminder that you guys have gotten so much better and the improvement's brilliant, but still not with the big boys, you know. So to have that now settled, that, you know, they can win big matches in Croke Park and they can lift silverware, and now the only trophy they don't have, this Derry crop anyway, is the All-Ireland, and that's very much next on the list.
Niall, are you masturbating under the desk? Right, do you think Dublin will have the confidence now from that game, or do you think they have something to go for after that game?
Look, I think Derry will be absolutely delighted. Like, Dublin will be disappointed. Like, I don't see why Dublin should probably have a bigger boost from the game, seeing as they lost. Like, I think Derry got their win, they deserved their win, and I think it'll be a boost for them come championship. I think everything that we had seen from them in the early stages of the league, they brought through and even improved on it in the final. I know I don't often give myself a tap on the back, but I'd say well done to myself and Lee. We both called that Derry would win this game. I said afterwards that Dublin would win the All-Ireland, but I'm actually changing to the Derry camp now. I think Derry, to me, look like just an unbelievable team. A lot of the credit has to go to Mickey Hart in the panel that he's built up. Lee mentioned Niall Toner coming off the bench there. He was exceptional. But they also brought Garrett McInnes off the bench. I know he got a hand injury, but they're hoping that he'll be all right after that. They also brought Cormac Murphy off the bench. You have to give huge credit to Mickey Hart for all those things and the way that they played the game. And I think they're going to win the All-Ireland now.
Jesus, those hand injuries are an awful business. Right, we're heading in for the banana and the cup of tea at halftime. Come back to us in the second half, where we'll have Take Your Point, Donegal Armagh, Down with Smead, Laois Leitrim, and a few championship previews. Welcome back to the second half. It is now time for Take Your Point, where we go through one bad point of the weekend's action.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Action and one good point, and it is not just limited to action on the pitch. Anything goes. Niall, you're up first. Your bad point from the weekend's action.
Dan, I had two bad points to choose from, and after much deliberation, I'm after coming down on Armagh. It could easily have been down, but my bad point, and it's a specific bad point about Armagh, was the very last score that they conceded. Oisin Conaty had just scored a point to level the game up. 71 minutes were gone, And so 14 points apiece. There's, 2 minutes left in injury time. What are you going to do? Do you want to win the game or do you want to try and hold on to your draw? The two Armagh closest in the furthest men forward was Rian O'Neill and I'm not sure was it Conor Turbitt or Connaty. They turned around and ran back out the field. Just let Sean Patton give away the easiest kick out ever to Padraig Mogan, who was on his right-hand side. Mogan played a 1-2 with someone. The Armagh boys are running back out the field and Mogan gets the ball back and he could run forward unopposed about 70 metres up the wing. No Armagh lad came near him and he plays another ball into Caelan McGonigal, who straightened brilliantly and set up Aaron Doherty for the winning score. It was worked out lovely for Donegal, but it was terrible, terrible now from Armagh that they just sat off, didn't... You'd think they put pressure on them when the game is there to be won, but I think that just summed up the whole display from Armagh, that they just sat off Donegal and didn't come to play at all. Like, I suppose they never, barely ever, I don't think they kicked one ball into Conor Turbitt. I know he got one point, but he barely...
We'll come back to the small bit later. I can see the blood rising in you now. We're trying to hammer the Armagh.
Don't get me started on down now, Dan, or you'll never get a word in the next 5 minutes.
Just don't mention Kilkenny fans, we'll be all right. Lee, what was your bad point from the weekend's action?
My bad point, I struggle to find a bad point in the game of Derry and Dublin, obviously, because it was so brilliant. But it was actually the treatment of Conor McCluskey. What happened afterwards in terms of the fracas or whatever you want to call it, no problem with that. That's absolutely fine. Happens in Gaelic football. But there was something so distasteful about the fact that Conor McCluskey was just running away from goal completely, you know, probably gutted, obviously, that his team had conceded a goal. And they just all chose him. You know, they didn't choose Kieran McFaul, they didn't choose Conor Glass, you know, they were quite selective about who they went after, and that's no slight in Conor McCluskey, who's more than able to look after himself and has proven that again and again. But it was just looked weird, like the three of them all coming up with his back turned to them, like, and piping in on him.
Lions in the savannah looking out for the old, the sick and the lame.
Yeah, but it could be one thing if he was even facing them and they were doing the whole, you know, roar in his face and he pushed them back and then it turned into a little bit of something. But he could not have been more innocent. Did you know what I mean? And they were all like, yeah, let's go after him, the cornerback. Like, he showed him, you know, it was just a bit bizarre. And then I thought it was so real leadership from Conor Glass, who was just having absolutely none of it, you know, and he came straight in. And like we mentioned, Brian Fenton, it's rare you see him sort of lose the head. It's also rare you see Conor Glass lose the head too. And he got a yellow for it. And I think just because there was almost a little bit of sense of honour, you know, in it. But like I say, everything that happened after that in terms of the fracas or whatever, totally fine with. Just the way that it started just was just a bit weird.
Niall, your good point from the weekend.
My good point was Jarlath Byrne's speech.
You wouldn't have seen it at WrestleMania now on Saturday night.
No, it was exceptional. Like, there was he started off, I suppose, with the Laois one, and that was brilliant on Saturday night. Same with the Westmead. You can just see that this man gets it, and he knows the crack, and he knew. It just summed up the moment brilliantly, that it was an unbelievable game, and he bigged it up, I suppose, for everyone to see. Like, what did he say? We have witnessed some incredible athletes make an exhibition of our game. And like, he was dead right. And the camera panned to Kieran Kilkenny then, and you could nearly see a smile coming on his face, even though Dublin had lost. So Jarlath Byrne was the good point of the week. I like the way he mentioned every captain's club as well when he was handing them over to the cup.
Lee, your good point from the weekend.
My good point, we already sort of sung his praises, is Owen McAvoy. You know, I mentioned that this is the boy that was playing schools football just a couple of years ago. And if he was to look to the left or the right of him in that match, he would see a man wearing blue who has got 5, 6, maybe 7 times the amount of All-Irelands that his entire county has. And not only did he not give one shit about that and was not fazed about it, he thought, I'm going to go head on and give everything at these lads, you know, and to get 2-2 from centre half back. And the other thing on that is that my favourite player to watch for Derry, and always has been, is Garth McGillinis. Like, his performance against Kerry last year was the stuff of heroes. So for anyone to slot into that number 6 position and to put in a performance like that. Because now you're going to have the conversation, like, you know, should Owen McAvoy be holding on to that jersey? Graham McGills will get into the team, but it's just which way you sort of swap and move them about. And that's testament to him. And we also mentioned his celebration after the first goal. His one after the second goal was even better because he did the thing that all heroes do. He went down with cramp after scoring a victory goal late in the game. I thought, you absolute hero. Like, I mean, literally giving it all at that. That kick that found the net that saved your county and maybe will win them the trophy is putting you through the ringer, but you don't care because your body's on the line. Just fair play to him. And 20 years old as well. Hugely impressed.
Yeah, we're going from a high to a low here now. Armagh, 14 points. Donegal, 15 points. If any of our listeners are struggling with insomnia, just watch the first 60 minutes of that game and that'll sort you right out. Lee, it was absolutely piss poor up until the last 10 minutes.
It was so piss poor, and it was so disappointing too, because, you know, two Ulster teams who could well meet each other obviously in the Ulster Championship. There's a bit of needle there. Kieran McGeaney and Jim McGuinness, they don't particularly like each other. They fell out several times in the past, you know, and publicly have, you know, slated each other as well. There was all the makings there in terms of having a bit of needle and the right sort of temperament, you know, to have an absolutely brilliant final. And both teams really needed to win. Like, Armagh needed to win to sort of break that hoodoo that they maybe have in Croke Park and that hoodoo they have in finals and actually, you know, climbing the steps and lifting that trophy. Like, it would have done wonders for them, you know. So for them not to be able to muster up what they needed to make it, you know, put in a performance that they needed to, was hugely disappointing. Jim McGuinness's team will definitely feel happier, you know, given the injuries that they had and the fact that they were able to find a way through in the end. You know, they'll definitely come out of it with loads of positives. But as a spectacle, that was a hard watch bar the last 10 minutes.
Niall, Armagh, go off.
I thought you'd know better than to get me started. In fairness, I think I've got it all off my chest at this stage, so I'm all good. I suppose the only, like, positive I could take from that game, like, is the standard of points that were kicked, and there was some unbelievable points, especially like from Kieran Thompson, who is just like, if whether it's him or David Clifford, he has the best left foot in the business, really, for me. He's just unbelievable to kick scores off the left. Caelan McGonagall kicked a few as well, but that was the only real positive. But Donegal are so good at kicking those sort of scores anyway, and they were definitely deserving winners of the game.
Down 13 points, Westmeath to 10. Niall, you were correct in your prediction that Westmeath were going to win this one.
Yeah, I was, in fairness. Another prediction bang on. I should have done the accumulator there at the weekend. But I think I said last week that I thought Down were overrated and I thought Westmeath were underrated, and I'd definitely have the same viewpoint at this stage, having watched the game. Like, Down only kicked 6 points from play in the whole game. Like, you talk about Armagh, Donegal being a bit of a stalemate, and the brilliant points that were kicked. Like, Donegal had Thompson, Niall O'Donnell, kicking brilliant points from outside the screen. Armagh had something similar from Rory Grugan. Down just didn't have that. They kicked a few lovely points, Liam Kerr on the run, but 6 points was all they scored from play in 70 minutes of football. Sometimes they didn't even take on the shots when they were on. They looked one-dimensional. Westmeath obviously defended deep because Down are known for wanting to score goals and wanting to run through you. But Westmeath just wouldn't let them because they defended so deep. And then Down just didn't know what to do. And credit Westmeath. They were missing, as you've seen, their captain collected the cup with his tracksuit on. He's their full-back, Kevin Maguire. Ronan Wallace is their centre-back. He had a pulled hamstring. Jack Smith, cornerback, he was injured. Kieran Martin, John Heslin, their two Westmeath men on their Westmeath Mount Rushmore, they were missing as well. So, huge win for Westmeath. They won the Tailteann Cup 2 years ago, and when they weren't fancied against Cavan, and they weren't fancied here against Down, and they came and won the game. So I think they're a very good team, and they could have they'll fancy themselves to beat Wicklow, then Kildare, then Loud, and get to a Leinster final. And I'd fancy them too. I'm backing them, but then they'll lose to Dublin.
Fair enough. That's a bold shout there, Niall. Leash 3-14, Leitrim 9 points. There's a bit of talk on X, the app formerly known as Twitter. No national anthems were played before the first games in the doubleheader. I mean, for Leitrim, who are only playing their sixth game in Croke Park, that's bullshit, Lee.
Yeah, it is. That's a bit weird. I don't really understand that at all. You know, you want the whole point, like, the whole argument, sorry, for keeping the league finals was for the Division 3 and Division 4 finals more than anything else. And I know it was the Division 1 final that actually paid off in the end in terms of the spectacle. But when you're talking about the players and county players and the commitment that they go through, and if you just happen to be from a perceived smaller county, you're not going to get those opportunities regardless of how good you are personally. So the league finals give you that, and if you're not even going to be given the full experience, then you know what's the point? Like, if you're going to do it, then do it right. It's really as simple as that. Like, I don't see why they couldn't have let them have the sort of full whack of it.
Niall, you're surely a man who wakes up to the sounds of Ron Levine. Well, what's your take on it?
Dan, God save the king, now.
You have the wrong impression of me, Dan. Like, I don't know where this is coming from.
Your man going drinking 2 or 3 cups of tea during matches and all that, yeah.
Not a hurling match, anyway. Usually, but... the national anthem, that's just a strange one, isn't it? Don't really know why that would...
And they deserve that for a moment. Like, I know it's been like that for a few years now at this stage, but like, for Leitrim to be in... Was it their sixth time, I think? It was... Mm. Yeah, I think Tommy Rooney who revealed that. Like, that was... I mean, madness, and they were sent home. There was a huge Leitrim crowd actually in the ground, which is great to see, but they were sent home packing fairly lively by Leash. What did you think of the game?
I suppose it probably went along expected lines. Just before we go on to this game, I want to say we didn't really give a shout out there to Sam McCartan from Westmeath. It was probably the display of the weekend, apart from Owen McAvoy in the Division 3 final. He was just unbelievable. But in Division 4, Leash were the team of the league by a country mile. They'd lost to Leitrim when there was nothing riding on the game for Leash. So that was obviously wasn't a fair reflection of where the two teams are at. And you could see it. Leash were just showed that they're a class above Leitrim and a class above Division 4. They're going to be a Division 3 team now. Justin McNulty is a brilliant manager, and I'm a huge fan of his, as you already know. But I suppose the style that they played was exceptional. Kicking the ball into Evan O'Carroll, who's just a brilliant full forward. He got 4 points from play, but the whole way through the game, they were very good. It was just one particular moment that stood out for me was Owen Lowry kicked the ball, and a brilliant kick pass over the Leitrim defence, and Evan O'Carroll caught it into the breadbasket. Like, while facing the goals, like, he turned his back on the ball and kind of caught it as it came down in front of him. And I suppose, like, this is what we want to see in Gaelic football, is lads, you know, kicking that ball. And sometimes it doesn't look like it's going to be a guaranteed pass or whatever, and you could easily lose it. And I suppose it was summed up by the fact that the lad off Owen Lowry's shoulder was given out to him for not giving him the quick and easy fist pass that was there to be given, like. And while he did the right thing and set up a goal chance for O'Carroll, you still have a teammate giving out to him. And I'm not even giving out about the teammate. I'm just saying that that's kind of the culture that's there, that you give the easy pass. But it was great to see Owen Lowry taking on the hard one.
We'll move on as we want to be the GA or not GA or in 10 minutes. So Lee, I'm going to ask you the tough question here now, though. Who's been the player of the league?
That is a really tough question. Mine's going to be a little bit... Yeah, I don't know why, because this player is actually as well as I think he's been playing. I think he's getting a hard time. People are saying that he's been underperforming. He's sort of been the quiet man at Gaelic football this year. I think Ethan Doherty has been absolutely sensational, to be honest. If you ever listen to the Derry game on the radio, you would swear that he's the only player that's ever on the ball, because his name gets mentioned more than any other player. He is absolutely imperative to everything that they do and do well. He isn't maybe the player that's going to, you know, beat 4 men and ping it to the top corner and have those sort of unbelievable flashy moments, but he's always chipping in with scores. He always seems to make the right decision. His energy is just relentless, and his commitment to both Glenn and Derry is outrageous, really. Like, I mean, we talk about if Brian Fenton never misses a game for Dublin, you know, you can't really imagine Dublin nearly without him. I can't really imagine this Derry team without Ethan Doherty pulling the strings at half forward. Just because he's not maybe lighting the pitch up, you know, with skills or whatever else, people think he isn't having a brilliant game, but he is vital to everything that they do well, and he's been sensational this league campaign.
Niall, who are you picking? Just a quick line about him.
It was between Conor Glass and Shane McGuigan, but I went with Shane McGuigan. Who's yours, Dan?
Canavan. Derek Canavan.
Good man. Someone said it at least. Lee. I left my charger in that pub in Derry, so I have to go back for it.
Lee, young player of the league. Is there any up and comer that you think we've seen?
Yeah, young player of the league. Dermot Baker, probably, in terms of how he broke onto that Derry team. It's just, you know, like one of the things, when you were thinking of Derry, we were talking about squad depth and how they need to get more scores and how they need to help out Shane McGuigan. And they did do all that. But one of the things you probably weren't thinking that they needed, you know, was another defender on the inside back line. But so good was he, you know, that he found his way into the team. And I think he played every game in the league. Maybe the only one to do that, I'm not too sure. But I just thought he's been excellent so far this year, and broke on to a squad that's probably one of the toughest squads to break onto.
Niall, the breakout star, young player, whatever way you want to look at it.
Owen McAvoy, does he still qualify? He's 21. No. He's no.
It's not a breakthrough. He was nominee for Young Player of the Year last year.
I can't think of any other real young lad who broke through. So yeah.
Well, your Dublin fella that you've been talking about,
McGuinness.
We'll go with McGuinness.
I'll help you. Me just reminding you of your own thoughts. Like, where would
Lee,
you be without me?
Manager of the league.
Well, it has to be Mickey Hart, doesn't it? Like, I mean, I should have picked a Tyrone person earlier, because then I've gone all Derry. I've gone clean slate here. No, it has to be Mickey Hart, because you know what? The very first game, everyone was very critical of him. Niall absolutely buried him on this podcast. It was borderline assault about the players that he picked for the Kerry game. And then he was under a lot of pressure from there on, you know. But it seemed like every decision he made was the right one. And now looking back at that Dublin game earlier in the league where he rested a few players, sure does not just look like pure genius, retrospectively speaking, because he brought them all back for the final when it mattered most, and they went to the well for him, and you know, they're ultimately the winner. So yeah, it probably has to be Mickey Hart.
Niall, quick one.
Yeah, it probably does have to be Mickey Hart. In fairness, but just for to be different, for the sake of being different, I'm going to go with a man I'm a big fan of, Justin McNulty. Like, he flew down from Stormont for a game. Like, what more do you want?
Give us a quick prediction for Clare Kilkenny in the hurling next week, Niall.
Okay, prediction for Clare Kilkenny. I think Clare, I think will win that game. It should be a great game. I'm delighted that it's in Thurles. There'll be a great crowd there on Saturday evening. I'd imagine so.
Clare fans are always good, actually.
Kilkenny always travel in numbers, so. I think it'd be a great game. The weather's picking up and the clocks are going back. Everton is looking up. The championship is only around the corner. Should be a brilliant game, but I'm going to go with Clare by a point. I think they haven't won since they won the league in 2016, so they're in dire need, I suppose, of a bit of silver. And they'd love to beat Kilkenny in a big game as well. I'd say you'd love to see Kilkenny win, would you, Dan?
Oh, man, I'm only dreaming of it. I'm only dreaming of all... Blanchfield and old Mikey Butler climbing up. Mikey Butler have to get an old harness to climb up the steps, I'd say. But Lee, for yourself in the Ulster Football Championship, the big one, really. I mean, the big one of all the football games, Monaghan-Cavan. Quick prediction there.
Well, you'd have to say Monaghan. Like, I mean, although Cavan didn't end the league well in the last game of the season, because I think they knew that, you know, that it was a quick turnaround before they were going to play Monaghan. But under Ray McGallaghan, they've really found a good feel of form, unearthed some new players, and they're definitely going to back themselves, I think. You know, and if you're going to go at Monaghan, I suppose it's at a time when they've just been relegated and players are coming back and there's still injuries to deal with. But opposed to that, then Monaghan are going to want to prove something. They've just been relegated. They're the ultimate team that when their backs are against the wall and everyone writes them off, they'll come out shining in the end. So I think Monaghan will tip it.
One word answer. Dark horse for the championship in football from what we've seen in the league. Basically, any team outside of Dublin, Derry, Kerry are probably looking for, realistically. You going to say Tyrone?
You going to say me? Gee, I got to give my county something. Yeah, I'll say Tyrone. Why not? Like, fuck it. They've got Darragh Canavan. They've got Darren McCrae. You know, when on their day, I think Tyrone have the highest ceiling that they could possibly have, and they can beat any team. But I think they've got, like, the lowest basement, because it can completely capitulate, and there's literally no minimum standard to fall to. So, yeah, if you're going to go dark horse, it's as dark as it gets. But outside of that three, I don't see anyone outside of that three really threatening.
So dark, it's invisible. Niall, yeah. One word.
My dark horse is Monaghan. They're going to beat Tyrone and knock them out of the Ulster Championship.
Finally, someone speaking a bit of sense around here. Right, the full-time whistle has gone. Thanks a million for joining us once more here on the GAA Hour. Be sure to retweet, repost any of our content, as it's so important to help us grow. Be sure to tell your friends about us as well. Throw us in the old club group chat. Give us an old 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on. Niall, Lee, it has been a pleasure. We'll chat to you all next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.